Great to be with you. Excited to be with you. My name is Chadwick Persons. I'm really considering you family because you have my family. Okay, so right behind me should be a picture, I believe, of our family. Is that on? Did they put that on there for us? Yes, there's my family. You'll notice that there are part of them there, part of your church family. This young boy that asked my daughter to marry him, and my daughter, and then I've got two other boys that are in college, one now married, the other one looking to get married. And then we have a six-year-old daughter also that's here with us today. Now, I'm also a grandpa, which is like, what happened? But it's so cool. A grandpa now, a second time coming to this church. Very exciting. So thank you so much for caring for these kids. And I got to be honest, because this is my first time and also maybe the only time after this that I get to speak to you, I got to share a little bit about my daughter, right? And so this little girl, who the next picture there will be holding up her little finger like that, it's just a little precious little girl that also just took that finger and didn't want anything else. She would kind of eat her food with just two fingers. That's even chocolate pudding was just like two fingers, right? There was a day that I was a youth pastor, and there was a Bible study with my wife going on, and the next picture will show her with this curly little hair. And she was in her bath time with Dad, and Mom was having a Bible study with these girls outside. She was screaming, "No, Daddy, no, not my hair, not my hair." And I couldn't wash her hair. Now, she grew up a little bit more, and again, just a little sweet girl. The next picture will show just, again, this little girl with smile, just an exuberant life, a precious daughter that went away then to Focus One to do a discipleship year. I've just been so proud of her as a father. Now, a couple of these other pictures here, again, go to kind of the sports piece of it. I did coach Miranda in volleyball and just got to see her. And then there was an opportunity. You could go to the next picture, I think it is. That picture. That's funny. That's a good one. As her husband will say, she goes to the store to get groceries, but she really goes for snacks. That proves it. The next picture will show her as a volleyball player. And then the next one is one of my favorite pictures of all. We had just won the chance to go to state. And my daughter played DS, defensive specialist, in the back row. She never was in the front row. And so I was out on the court congratulating the girls. And all of a sudden, I caught eyes with my daughter across the way. And she comes running to me, and she jumps into my arms. I've never seen her jump that high. I was like, if you jumped that high all year, you could have played front row. She jumped in my arms, and someone caught this great picture. It's just so fabulous. It's just so precious. I really do appreciate you guys taking care of our kids, just loving on them and putting the investment into saying in a small town like Wheaton that it is important to have a pastor to our youth, to say that it's important to care for our youth in this way. It is such a good example to other rural communities, but also to the people in this community that providing resources for these kids to come to and that they are valued. That is so healthy, so good. So thank you for taking care of Greg and doing a background check on him. And now I'm also a camp director at a sister camp of Lake Beauty. Blue Water Covenant Bible Camp is our camp where Miranda grew up. A fabulous place. And here's the deal. I'm not up here to say that there's any difference between camps besides our being the best. But I mean, same God in this place, right? And that is the biggest thing about camp. Camp is so far powerful. So I want to say this. I told Phil Tolbert that I would speak well of Lake Beauty because there is power in camp. It's like when you come into this cabin and you are around all these other people, like people from neighboring towns that you don't really like because you play football against, you play basketball. By the way, shout out to you guys for the state berth down at basketball. So awesome. But you don't like them on the court. But then you come to camp and you're in the same cabin with them. Oh, man. What happens is that by the week goes along, there's a breakdown of these sports and mascots and this, and we start to go, how are you doing in your walk with Jesus? How are you doing in this life trying to follow? How are you doing in this? And it breaks down those things that we're not there as a warrior or as other mascots, but we're there as life of men and women trying to follow after him, which is the church, which is the kingdom. I think camp is so powerful in that. Now, we had a powerful moment of, and there's the adventurous moments at camp that are like the boy goes tube riding with his pants on, his jeans on, and he comes out and a guy asks him, "Why are you in your jeans?" He goes, "Well, my swimsuit was wet." And, you know, it's like, you know, well, all right, I guess that's a boy for you. But then there's also these moments where a kid comes and he's writing these symbols on his arm. And he says to his counselor, "Well, these are symbols are from my brother who's teaching me the occult." And so he's teaching him the occult. And his counselor's like, "Ooh, first day, taken back a little bit." And we're praying about what to say, what to speak to him. And I said, "Just listen to his story. Listen into his heart." And as a week went along, again, power of camp, away from all those other distractions, he makes a decision for Jesus. He makes a decision for Jesus. And he asked for a permanent marker. And we're like, not normally going to give out a permanent marker to campers, but we said this time it was okay because what he wanted to do was take and write Jesus over all those symbols. Right, Jesus to cover up those symbols. Now, that's a powerful story in of itself, but as camp director, it's really hard to go, okay, now who's got him after this? He leaves our place. He leaves Blue Water and he goes away. Who's got him next? That's you guys. That's the church. That's you guys taking him in and saying it's powerful to have a youth pastor here for kids to return after a transformational decision to say that I'm following Jesus. I'm covering up Jesus over all these other things. And I need to now continue that path. At our annual meeting, I was sharing this same story. And a youth pastor in the back row raises his hands and goes, "I got to tell you something. That boy is continuing to follow. He's been at youth group all year long. He's continuing to follow Jesus." So there is power in sending and getting kids to Lake Beauty and then receiving them back into your community. All right, so that's one sermon. I got my second sermon here. The gospel that we read of John. I love the gospels. It tells the story of Jesus, right? And it tells it from different accounts. Matthew has it from this Jewish account. Mark from a Gentile and saying that Jesus is for the whole world. And Luke, this doctor that really dives into specifics. Into kind of like looking at all the specifics about Jesus' death and who he is. John, though, is my favorite. John comes in and he's this gospel writer that gives us a little bit different perspective that Jesus is the light of the world. He comes in with these sayings that brings about the deity of this man, Jesus. They're looking at him as this carpenter, but now John is writing that he is also God himself. It's the idea of John giving us the miracle that starts Jesus' ministry, turning water into wine. The idea of John giving us these words that I am the I am. Now, in our translation, it's sometimes hard to pick that up. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the truth," or "I am the way. I am the bread of life." Jesus says these statements and John records it for us. And in our translation, we just kind of skip over it. But in reality, John says that Jesus is deity by what he's saying there. I am the I am. The same words Moses hears when he's standing in front of a bush and asks the bush on fire, "Who should I say is calling me?" And the bush, God, Yahweh, answers all of it, "I am the I am." John gives us these different perspectives of who Jesus is and gives us this account so that we may believe. And we didn't read it, but John chapter 20, verse 30, just before we get to this section of John chapter 1, says that all these things he's written down that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And by believing, you may have life in his name. Man, it's so good to have life in his name. Life, eternal life. Right? That's kind of where in my growing up years of going to camp, it was kind of like, that's what I wanted. I wanted life after this life. I wanted eternal life with him. But I propose to you that it is also about life now. Life before that life. That it's about this life now and how you are living it. Let's pray. God, you give us these words from a person that saw, watched, heard, and then wrote down by your Spirit. You give us these words so that we may believe. Man, help us believe. Help us believe when we're walking the hallways of our school. Help us to believe when we're going into the farm work and into the feed store. Help us to believe when we're with our family and our sons and daughters. Help us believe so that we may pass on that to others. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I love a good movie, and Avengers was like 20 movies of great storytelling and of superheroes, some that have all these like powers, and the story goes throughout and ends in this one last heroic effort of defeating Thanos with the snap that Iron Man does, and then he loses his life. And kind of the screen goes blank on after that last movie or last part. And then it comes back up, and you see a funeral happening, and you see Captain America going back and rewriting his story and coming back to the woman that he loved. And it was like this epilogue, right? Epilogue where you get a little bit more into the people of that story. The writers and the movie makers gave us just a little bit more. Well, this is what John does in chapter 21. I mean, the story ends with Jesus' death, but then his resurrection. And John describes that in a couple chapters before that. He ends it kind of well. The story should end there, but he doesn't. He kind of says that this isn't enough. The Holy Spirit comes to John and says, there's a little bit more of the story I need you to write down. That's this John chapter 21, this epilogue. He lays out that God has risen again, and now the people are wondering what's next, right? So come back into this text with me. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way: Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. Now, I just stopped there just for a moment, right? They're sitting around. They've experienced Jesus alive again. They've experienced him now in their presence. And they're kind of sitting around wondering what's next. And then they turn maybe back to what's normal, back to those maybe old muscle habits, those old muscle memory of what is familiar, going fishing. Right there, that's where Peter was pulled from, right? When choosing to follow Jesus, he's pulled from his father's business, his heritage, fishing. So maybe it's falling back into that old habit. I like to think of it as Peter maybe being a leader of like, you know, let's get out and do something here. I can't just sit around anymore. I coach also basketball in Grand Rapids. And I tell you, coaching defense, if you got a kid that's just like up in a guy's grill, he's like down in his stance all the time, that pesky little guy getting up, little, you know, hands in there, it is so much easier to say, hey, buddy, you need to pull back just a little bit. You need to just come back a little bit. Because either the refs are giving them the old whistle, right? Or he's like stealing the ball and it's going great. It's just like he's going after it. Now, it's harder, though, for me as a coach to say, hey, Get out and guard them. Get out, get up in his face. Get out after them. And I think that's here Peter saying that this leadership is like not going to be held back. Peter's this guy that's ready to lead, ready to do something. He's like, I'm going to go fishing. And you see at that moment then, his friends go, we'll go with you. We'll go with you. We'll go fishing with you. So early in the morning, Jesus comes along and stands on the shore. The disciples don't recognize that it's Jesus. But he calls out to them, friends, do you have any fish? And they answer, no fish. Well, throw your net on the other side. Throw it on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And when they did, they were able to haul in this huge net of fish. Now, remember, these guys are professional fishermen, right? Now, I'm not sure about you guys, but I am not a professional fisherman. Matter of fact, I have no clue where the fish are in my lake, right? I'd rather ski over them at 35 miles an hour than sit in a boat and sit there trying to find where those fish are. Matter of fact, when the lake is frozen and guys are drilling 7-inch holes in the ice, going, maybe the fish are right underneath me here, I'm kind of like, there are 365 acres. That's a lot of 7-inch holes. That's a lot of 7-inch holes to drill. And so I have no clue about fishing. But if it was as easy as going from this side of the boat to this side of the boat, I think I would be a pretty good fisherman. I do. Because if that's how you catch fish, going from one side of the boat to the other, I could figure that out. But here in the midst of it, I think Jesus is doing something with them. It's calling them to remember back to this story. It's calling them to bring back to a former time. But also in the midst of this, it's Jesus meeting them in their world. In their world. It's Jesus meeting the disciples in their world, which means Jesus is going to meet you in your world. On your volleyball team, on your farm, in your accountant office, wherever that means for you, your world, Jesus will meet you there. Jesus will meet you in everything that you're doing, the normalcy of life, the familiar of life, the getting back to the ideas of doing what you know best to do. Jesus wants to meet you there. And that's so good. Good to know it's not just about Jesus meeting you here. He's not the God that's existing outside of the world. He's not out there somewhere in the universe. He's not even in the temple, not in the Ark of the Covenant anymore. He's doing his business with you wherever you're at. Now, this helps us also, reminds us that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is the one that commands the whole earth. He commands nature, the cosmos. He commands even fish to not be on one side of the boat, but enter nets on the other side of the boat. Now, this is a powerful act because it takes Peter back to another moment. If you have your Bibles, you can go flip back to Luke chapter 5, verse 8. They're in a similar situation. These disciples are fishing, but there's no fish. And Jesus asked them to go out deeper, which is not where the fish are. And they had been working hard to find fish all night. And it was now like midday, and the fish shouldn't be there. And Peter then hears Jesus say to move their nets, go fishing again, and they capture a bunch of fish. And Luke chapter 5, verse 8 shows Peter's response. Peter says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. And he says, get away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. Right there, Peter knew everything he had been taught by the rabbis, that God could not be around sin anymore. And yet he was seeing this man in his boat command the fish to enter the nets. And he knew at that moment he could not be next to him because he is the Lord. He is God. Now, take that next to this moment in John chapter 21, verse 7. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Again, it is the one. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and he jumps into the water to go to Jesus, to start swimming. They're 100 feet away from him, 100 yards away from him. He goes to Jesus. What a different response. Now, the cross had happened, the resurrection had happened, and Peter's response now is different because he is reminded that Jesus is Lord. He's reminded that he is not just Savior. He's not just Savior. He is Lord of his life now. The resurrection had happened. They were wondering what's going on. And now Jesus is Lord. And in Jesus's or in Peter's ambitiousness, he jumps out and goes to him again. runs and says, I'm going to come to you. God is now in this spot of saying, don't get away from me, sinner. Come to me, sinner. Right? Come to me. Come near me. Come around me. Eat with me. Be with me. Peter is ambitious to a fault. And you may remember that at that moment that he, in Peter's just exuberance, it comes back to a part of Peter's story before the cross, before the resurrection. It comes back to that day where Peter, at that moment, he would have, or he could have, or he should have, but he didn't. It's that place where Peter denies Jesus three times, right? Peter denies that he even knows this man. He gets away from the game. He gets away from Jesus and says, I don't even know this guy. And John, this writer, says there is a story here that still needs to be written about Peter. And John's such a good friend in this. He doesn't leave that story going without the account of Jesus restoring Peter. Jesus encouraging Peter that he'll have another opportunity. You're going to have another moment. It's okay, I see you, and I need you, Peter. I need you to believe, because you are meant for more. So one, Jesus reminds them that he is Lord. But two, we are also reminded in this story that grace restores us to purpose. Grace restores us to purpose. Now, a lot of pastors, and you probably heard a lot of sermons where they talk about the love that Jesus speaks. Peter, do you love me? And maybe you've gone into the phileo or agape love that is there. I want to take our attention and not focus on that, but I want to bring our attention today over into what is Peter, or what is Jesus calling Peter to do? To feed his sheep. To take care of his sheep. To be around them, to give of his resources, to give of his time, and to lead, to shepherd, to guide all these people that are around. That Jesus needs Peter to be there as a shepherd. That Peter can't sink away and go, man, I am not part of this game anymore. I can't do this. Instead, Jesus is saying to him, go out and lead. Go out and do. Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you stretched out your hands and someone else will dress and lead you where you do not want to go. See, that same people that Peter denied that he knew Jesus to now are the ones that Jesus is calling him to go back into the game with. I'm sure in a community like this, there are people that you go, man, I can't talk. There are kids on your teams that you go, man, I'm not sure that person would ever come to church or ever follow Jesus. I remind you back to my story about this young boy coming to camp. Man, you don't know what Jesus is going to do, what Jesus can do in their life. Because grace reminds us that we are called into this purpose, to follow and then to lead others. To lead others into following as we follow. To talk about Jesus' teachings. To eat with people that don't smell like us, act like us, talk like us. To get in with the mess of their lives. To get in with the muck and the mire. Knowing that you're standing on his rock, firmly grounded in his love. And even Jesus gives Peter that insight that, hey, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy for you to do it. Historians tell us that Peter was also crucified on a cross. But when Peter went to the cross, he said, I cannot be crucified as my Lord. Hang me upside down. Which I think would be worse. It was just at that moment he was going, because of following Jesus, it was going to cost him his life. It was going to cost him who he was. And following is not easy. Just because you got an A on your last test doesn't mean that you're not going to be tempted to take a little peek over at the desk next to you on that next test. Or just because you are a good accountant, you're not tempted to fudge the tax return for your friend just for that one time. Or because you got married, you're not more tempted to click on that website. following is still difficult. Leading a life that has morals and ethics and is different than others and than our world is difficult. But it's worth it. Jesus is reminding Peter that grace is powerful. Forgiveness covers our past, and the resurrection power moves us into this life with purpose. For this life now, not just eternal life. So we're reminded that Jesus is Lord, reminded that grace restores us to purpose, and we're reminded to follow with focus and purpose. Look at verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following. And now I got to just stop there for a minute. I love this because, again, if you want to believe this book right here, this is kind of like that little part where you go, who would write this, right? John puts in there this little bit, right? If you catch it, there's a little funny part of this, right? John is writing, who's the one that Jesus loves the most? John, right? I mean, it's a little dig there, like, I'm the one, lean back into Jesus, I'm the one. And so if you're really writing a story, if this is all made up, I don't think you put that in here. So I believe this because of some of these words. And so I just love that part about these scripture and these eyewitness accounts. Now, he looks and then he tells this story about Peter. When Peter saw him and looked around, he said, well, what about him? What about him, Lord? Now, Peter, leader, needed for the church, going to be the rock of the church. But in that moment, look, he's focused backwards, not on forwards, not on where Jesus is going, but on backwards. What about him? And I love Jesus' response. It just says, what do you care if I have him remain alive or not? Follow me. Some of those first words that he calls. You see, Peter quickly sets his eyes on the wrong goal. And maybe it's because John beat him to the tomb, or maybe it's because Peter knows that John has that special friendship with Jesus. Whatever it is, Peter starts to compare. And comparison corrupts faith. Comparison corrupts faith. You know, just think about that. If you're comparing to another church or to another family, what they've got, or if you're comparing to this person's faith over your own faith, you're just not focused on following. You're not focused on what Jesus is doing in your life through this word, through the Holy Spirit inside of you. You're focused backwards. Focus on what's back there and that person. That comparison just corrupts what he wants to do. So don't waver. Keep following that path that Jesus has for you. So the application for us today is that we need to continue to listen to his Holy Spirit. We need to continue to read these words of Jesus in Matthew, the Beatitudes, and the blessings of how it is that you've heard it said, but now I say. You've heard it this way, but now I'm showing you this. And then we need to live it out. We need to communicate with Jesus in our surroundings and with the people that are around us, because we are called into a focus. Following for Peter was hard. He wanted to lead. He becomes a great leader. You see it. He starts the church, and you see in the book of Acts how the church grows because of Peter. The church grows because Peter reminded himself that Jesus is Lord, that grace restored him for a purpose, and that he reminded to follow with focus. Focus on Jesus. Now, I've got to end with this, that, and John ends with it for us too, that verse 24 says that these scriptures, we follow Jesus not because it's the Bible, not because it's the Bible, but because the Holy Spirit let John write these things down. John saw it, and we believe in it. Because here's the greatness and the bigness and the mysteriousness of this God that we follow. This disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote these down, we know that this testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Meaning that the Jesus that we know in this book right here is a lot, but he is much bigger. And I look out here and how Jesus has impacted this room here. this church, this kingdom that is in front of me. And he has done major things in your life, more than I know, but he knows it because he's within you. He's walking with you. He's in your world with you. I don't need to know it, but you need to know it. That this God is mysteriously working within all of us, working within all of our lives, hears our prayers, cares for our prayers, works into those prayers. That's the God I want to follow. That's the largeness of this Lord to walk after. And tomorrow, when you walk into the high school, when you walk into your barn or into your field, to know that you are following this God that is so big, mysteriously working in all people, in all countries in this world for his work, his kingdom. That's the God I want to know. That's the God I want to follow. So the big idea is that believe that God is working, that you are invaluable to his work. Hear that. Believe that God is working with you. From oldest, following God for 50, 70 years, following God for 2 years, he is working in you. And you are invaluable to his work. You are invaluable to what he is doing in this world. Let's pray. God, may we continue to follow. That's what you ask, is just to follow. Reminding us that you are Lord, that we could see the things that go on in this world and that you are still Lord over all of it. God, for us in this life to be reminded that we are filled with grace so that we have this purpose, that we are filled with grace for this purpose to be focused on you. God, may these words align with your spirit in the people that have heard it today. May they align in it so that they are changed, transformed, ready for tomorrow, ready to take the next steps as you meet them in their world tomorrow. We pray these in your Son's name, Jesus.